Peter Pearson, and I have a title, and it's outreach coordinator for the state of New York for an organization called New York Sustainable Agriculture Working Group. NYSOG, as it's called, is located in western New York in Westfield on Lake Erie, and it exists to remove barriers to access for farmers and help consumers regain access to better food, natural food, and in the case of the co-op in Hudson, ethnic and culturally appropriate food. So I want to thank you again all for coming. We have refreshments supplied by Berry Brews, the iced tea. We have cookies baked by Lick. And there are donation baskets at the registration tables. The donation baskets are for paying for this space for the church. The meeting is free, but it's not costless. So if you feel so inclined, please throw some money into the donation basket so that we can in turn give it to the church. The church, by the way, the First Presbyterian Church, has been very generous to us because they've given us a $100 donation to help the co-op get up and running. So when you came in, you registered, I hope, and if you didn't, please do so on your way out, because this is a document that I turn into the United States Department of Agriculture, and it shows that there are a variety of people in Hudson interested in this, and that we are reaching out to the community. You also got a packet of information that I'd like to go through, and I'm going to sit down, and if you need me to stand up, I will. But
Peter, I think if you're at that end,
good point. Get my water. And also, just to let you know, Sarah Kendall is here from the radio station WGXC, and she's recording this, and it'll be on the archives and available as a matter of public record. So don't be shy. And if you speak, please speak up and clearly and slowly so that Sarah can capture it. Are we doing okay?
Yeah, we're okay. Excuse me if I kind of like slither. I'm just trying to pick up your voices.
So what you got when you came in was a request to sign in, but you also got a packet of information. I'd like to go through this with you. The first page lists a very brief agenda for this evening. It's followed by frequently asked questions. So if you could take a minute and look at these questions, because it might save you some time and it might answer your questions before you need to raise your hand. If you find that something's not addressed in the way you need it, just raise your hand or stand up and ask a question. We're pretty casual here. This is followed by a second sheet, and it's double-sided also. It's called What is a Food Co-op? And this is taken from an organization called the Food Co-op Initiative. It's backed up by something I downloaded this afternoon from the Park Slope Food Co-op in Brooklyn, because I felt it applied to us. And it's, how does a food co-op work? It's a mission statement of that co-op, and I think it aligns very closely with what we say we want to do. The next sheet is a one-page fact sheet that gives some history about the project, where I'm coming from, my background. It also gives, at the bottom, contact information. And I answer emails and I answer the phone. So again, don't be shy. If something occurs to you later, get a hold of me. Then we have a benefits grid that was drawn up by Sheena Salvino, and she's going to introduce herself and explain what this is. Am I surprising you?
Yeah. Okay.
Sheena's done a wonderful job for us. And she's laid out in very clear terms a lot of the benefits that this co-op will have for the community, for shoppers, and for farmers. This is a draft. It's in process, as is everything we're doing. There's nothing set in stone. It's very fluid, and we all try to have a very substantial capability for ambiguity and chaos. So if it looks unorganized, it really isn't. And then the last sheet or piece of paper is a response sheet. This is very important. because it's a way for us to stay in touch with each other. And we're going to be calling for volunteers because we need someone to help us establish a database of potential members. So let's go back to the first page. And we wanted to report back to the community based on our first meeting that we had on June 14th. What's happened since then has been a lot of committees have been formed. A lot of committees have been formed and met. Some committees have not met. We're putting out a call for talent. And don't think that you don't have anything to contribute, because if you eat, you belong here. And there's something in your background and experience that would help the community. And that's what a co-op is. It's a members helping each other. So we have these committees formed. We met with one committee on Saturday, and it was a kind of a general call. Out of that came Sheena's volunteer to do her benefit grid. So again, don't be shy about thinking about how you can contribute, because this is everybody's enterprise. Hi. Wow. And let me get my pen.
Somebody hold her since he doesn't live.
We go by the pen. We know her.
And the bookie.
Sorry, Jennifer. I don't know your name, I'm sorry.
My name is Jennifer. My last name is Stockmeyer, S-T-O-C-K-M-E-I-E-R.
Nice Irish name. Great, we'll be in touch. Okay. Thank you so much. That kind of involvement and commitment is exactly what we're looking for, so I hope others will follow suit. There's a sheet here that's very important. It's the second sheet. It's called What is a Food Co-op? And this defines in kind of general terms how co-ops are organized. They're organized for the benefit of their members, and they're organized on a voting basis. So, for example, when we have our board of directors, the board of directors will listen to the membership and put out policy issues that the members will vote on. This is a very democratic process, and it survives and it thrives with participation. So I can't stress that enough. I'm going to skip over Sheena's benefits draft for a minute and go to the next item, because we're opening an information center for the co-op. This is not where the co-op will be, but this is a place where there'll be a desk and a phone and a person, so that anybody can drop by on certain hours, and I'll get into that in a minute, to receive information, to talk, to ask questions, to get brochures, and it starts to make the co-op real. And the address here is 757 Columbia Street at the corner of 8th. And the first set of hours, it'll open July 8th on Friday. It'll stay open between 5 and 7 p.m. And it'll be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the first floor of the building my partner Walt and I have leased. Our apartment's upstairs, and we're letting the first floor storefront be used for community meetings. And I can't think of a better place to put an information center than in a nice air-conditioned space. So hopefully in the future we'll continue to have meetings there. I would like to ask for volunteers or people to think about volunteering to help staff this desk. I'll do the first set of hours, and if we can gradually work into a schedule, we can have more hours, more people, and we can start being a more concrete presence.
Are you going to keep the same hours Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
5 to 7?
Yes. Starting on July 8th on Friday, 5 to 7 for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll see how that goes. We'll see who comes forth to help staff that desk, and we'll take it from there. Now I'd like to talk about Sheena's benefits draft. When we had our open committee... Oh, hi, sorry.
Hi, I'm Jenna Moore. The hours, Friday afternoon,
evening, that seems good, but Saturday and Sunday, I would think noon to 2 would be more productive, sometime during the day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Because people are out and about and doing things.
That's a good point.
And the farmer's market closes at 1 o'clock, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not that far away. So.
Let's do that. Let's do Friday 5 to 7 and Saturday and Sunday noon to 2. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's change that then. So just to go back, it'll be Friday 5 to 7 and then Saturday and Sunday noon to 2.
We get that, but it would be people would be there.
Would you cooperate with the people from Cornell Cooperative, that little booth where they sell coffee? Yeah,
but it's not Cornell's not selling any coffee.
The coffee's a giveaway from the market to the customers.
But yes, we can certainly have a presence at the market.
I just think because those are kind of people who are going to care about this.
Yes, they're naturally inclined.
How else were you going to promote that this place is here and that people should come in and ask about it? Because if they don't know it's there, they're...
Another good point. Radio and the newspaper. We've gotten really good coverage with WGXC. We've gotten really good coverage with the Register Star.
And you have the farmer's market.
And the farmer's market.
The farmer's market. Really,
yeah.
And we've done leaflets in three languages.
We've done leaflets in English, Bengali, Haitian Creole,
and Spanish.
And they're everywhere in all the stores and on vendors.
Well, we need help with that. We need help with distributing these leaflets to reach the communities. We need help with outreach. We need somebody to walk around with 30 leaflets and pass them out in stores. So if you could think about that and get back to me or to Ellen Thurston or maybe Ruth.
We need French too.
Excuse me?
French.
Okay.
French.
Okay. So I'd like to turn part of this over to Sheena and ask you to introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sheena Saldino. Aside from being a volunteer member of What's Going On with the Co-op, I will also be taking the position as the executive director for the Hudson Development Corporation. We'll be relocating to right above the Chamber of Commerce. So if you are a business, resident, tourist, individual who's just curious about what the Hudson Development Corporation does, I would be happy to chat with you about that. But aside from that, in terms of benefits, this is by no means a comprehensive list. This is essentially sort of what I diluted from other organizations who are doing sort of the same thing that we're hoping to accomplish. So as you can see, it's broken out by member benefits, basically to the individual or the family, the community benefits, so how as a group we're, you know, getting positive externalities. The farmer benefits, because we're not doing this in a vacuum and we're not the only people who are going to have positive outcomes, and as well as the communities from which they're coming from. So I'm not going to take too much time to read anything to you, but essentially the top part outlines the basic benefits to each sort of sector. On the bottom there are some optional amenities that, you know, other organizations have thrown out, which I think could be possibilities for us. And like Peter said, this is a draft, and obviously we're very open to comments, feedback, suggestions. So for instance, one suggestion on one site was student membership discount. So we could get the college students involved for perhaps a $70 membership, and you know, that would come along with just still a vote, but maybe different sort of benefits package. There are also a wealth of resources online and at your local food co-op. So if you come from a food co-op originally, again, please feel free to either email me or Peter, and we can keep this kind of an open conversation and dialogue. Because again, I'm just going to keep chirping what Peter says. This is about, you know, the community and what you guys have to, what all of us have to give to it. So
what is your
Where will I be? Well, right now the location for the office is 507 Warren Street, but it will be at the firehouse, the hose company on Front Street.
Washington Hose Firehouse at the foot of Warren Street on February, on July 6th.
And there you go.
What's your email option?
It is smsalvino@yahoo.com. So it's just my first initial, my last name, which is salvino@yahoo.com.
Can you just say your first name again?
Sure, it's Sheena. Like Sheena Easton.
Only better.
Sheena the jungle. Wherever you come from, you know, there's different circles. Does anybody have any questions about the document? Again, I tried to be as pretty straightforward as possible in terms of how we can all mutually benefit from this.
I'd like to add that some, I don't know what column it would go in, but I'd like to add that the co-op will be actively soliciting and accepting SNAP and EBT and WIC benefits. And where?
All columns.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions or just dying to say something? Not yet? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'd like to open up the floor to everyone for comments, questions, concerns, critiques, compliments, ideas.
Doing a great job, Peter.
I have a question. How is it in this, in a co-op, is it decided what will actually, understand healthy, local, whatever, but what the products and offerings will be there?
We have an inventory committee. They don't actually decide, they don't actually do the buying, but they advise the buyer, say the produce buyer or the bulk buyer, that there's a concern we want halal meat, for example. We want 15 kinds of grains and cereals. You know, nobody likes black-eyed peas, but everybody likes kidney beans. Well, we don't know that until it's solicited, and that committee is actually going out and asking people and doing surveys and finding out. Because again, this is for the members. We don't want to put something on the shelf and spend the money for the inventory if it doesn't move, because it's got to go. So, yes, hi.
That suggests another sort of broader question that I have. Is maybe if you could sort of go over the different committees that you have set up.
Okay.
Do you envision some of the missions?
Yes, I will do that.
Could people identify themselves when they speak, please?
My name is Wendy. I'm Susan.
Just because we don't know each other. I mean, I don't know everyone. I know Mary Beth. I'm Mary Beth.
And could you add to that? I'm Carla Lawrence. But could you add to that? I know there was a meeting on Saturday about these committees and the form of these committees and who wanted to do what, but not everybody could make that. So,
right.
Like, we knew, more about it, and if there was like a sign up sheet if they need additional people.
Okay, that's great. And let's. You know, you can a committee can book space at 757 Columbia. I don't need to be there. I just need to give the key to somebody. So it's not like it's my committee. If you want a natural healing committee, for example, please get your people together and meet and then report back to the group. And I think in terms of sign up, what we should probably do is on the registration form at the two tables in the front and back. To do that, just turn a sheet over and write down a committee. What we started off with, we started off with a fundraising committee. This is a broad subject about a little thing called money. And we had three people who were interested. This committee has not met yet. The fundraising committee needs to get together and pool ideas. Where money should come from, should it come from federal sources, grants, should it come from individuals, part of it can come from membership. And start asking questions and reaching out, and I would be happy to be part of that fundraising committee. Another committee was business planning and marketing, and this is more about how the co-op is perceived in the community. How do we get the leaflets out? How do we tell people about the fact we're meeting? And what are the next steps? That's the part of the business plan. What are the next steps? We have a written business plan, but it was written for Schoharie, New York. It needs to be recast for Hudson, and that's a critical document, because no one will approach. No, you can't talk to anybody about money unless they see your business plan, because it puts down on paper where you think you're going to go, where you've been, and it tells people who you are. So we need help with the business plan. Another committee was Membership and Outreach Diversity Council. We have various communities around here that don't travel south of Warren sometimes, and that can't be. We have to reach and get everybody involved, or at least hear their voice. Not everybody needs to participate at the same level. Some people will only shop and will never know their names. Some people will be like you, and they come here and they give their time and their effort and their commitment. Anybody can participate at any level they feel comfortable with. But to do that, they have to know about the co-op, and we have to know something about them. So we need help with that. We've got six people on that council. We've got a management committee. This is about how does the co-op run within basic, commonly accepted co-op principles. Again, it's a one-vote voting system. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people on that committee.
One vote per family membership. Is that
correct? It's one vote per membership. And then
per household.
Household, thank you. And then that unit decides. Yeah, exactly. We have a special halal food committee. That doesn't mean there can't be other ethnic and cultural food committees. But again, we're putting that out there, and we need a response. So we need help with that. We need a bookkeeper and an accountant.
We need some positions.
Not now. Not unless the fundraising committee can get us a big check written. These are all volunteer. And we have a general food committee that would be the inventory, what goes on the shelf committee. And then we have kind of a general committee called, which I called General Assistance Office and Enthusiasm Crew. Yeah, exactly. So if you don't know what you want to do, but you need some direction, give us a holler. So those are the committees that we have. Hi.
And do you have a list that you can sort of either share? I mean, you'll share it after this meeting with who's currently on the list.
Yeah, I can show it to you now if you want to circulate this.
Yeah.
Hi.
I just wondered, because I know when they tried to have a market, I know it was in the color of the land market, and has some community artists who might know about that, where music is now. And one of the things is I felt there should be a model somewhere that we could follow. You know, they failed on many levels. And I was interested in it anyway.
Well,
do we have a model?
We have several models. We take pieces as we find them applicable to Hudson. We take a piece out of Troy because of their inventory control and their processes. We take a piece out of Park Slope Food Co-op because of their ability to reach diverse members within their 17,000 members. 17,000 members. Last year they had sales of $43 million. And the food they bought cost $36 million. Now, they're very mature. They're in a much different kind of boat than we are. But their mission statement is included here because I think, and please throw in your 2 cents worth, I think that what they say about how they make their co-op work is something that we want to emulate. We based our pro forma on a co-op in South Dakota that had the same population the same artist, gallery, church, bar mix that reflected us. So that's the way we're doing things. And I reach out all the time. I'm in touch with the board president of the Troy Food Co-op because, frankly, they made some mistakes and they're not shy about telling us. So by staying in touch with all these other co-ops, we learn what not to do. And I want to know that.
I just want to, Park Slope, you could not shop there unless you were a member. And you could not be a member unless you were a working member. Mm-hmm. They were very, very strict about that.
I wouldn't say we took every part from Park Slope. I'm aware of it. I used to be a member.
I was there too, but yeah. It was not very openly embracing the entire community.
Well, like I said, it's like a buffet. You know, you spread out all the co-ops in the U.S. in front of yourself, and you say, well, I like that, and that, and that, and that. And that's how we're doing it.
Can I just type in there?
Sure.
I am a member of that particular co-op. And it's true, it's a very different model, and it sounds like what's going to be created here, but part of actually why it worked and is so successful is partly because of certain guides that have been set up like that, where only members could shop, every member works. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the markup was only 21% instead of 100% of the wholesale. You know, so that made a big difference and brought in a really diverse group of people.
I don't want to diminish member worker participation because that is exactly how we keep our prices low, is with labor. And labor gets compensated in various ways. But member participation by working is a way to cut your grocery bill. Who wouldn't want that? It also keeps, you know, the overhead costs down. So maybe not everything Park Slope did was wrong, and we choose the part that we think works.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I just want to backtrack for a second to the committees and be clear. If we are interested in participating with a committee, what are we doing? We're having a sign-up sheet, or are we letting...
Yeah, use the registration sheet, and just there's an area on it. There's enough space. It's something I didn't think of, but it's a good idea, so let's make one up. Oh, that thing, yeah, thank you. There's a response sheet here, exactly.
Can you specifically put on icon, like in the comments?
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be in the title.
Hi, I'm Deborah. In response to, I think, your question of who, or somebody's question, who else has done this? The Berkshire Food Co-op in Great Barrington, the gentleman, this almost got off the ground about 6 months ago and died, but in the process of doing that, I spoke with a bunch of these people. And the guy at the Berkshire Food Co-op, and they're in the millions and millions, also a profit, so much so that their members have now reinvested and are opening another one in Pittsfield. That's how good it is. Exactly. That's how good a return it is for the members, that the members reinvested. But he has said that he'll come speak to any community that wants to know how to do this. And they're all it's a very bizarre group of people. All the ones I spoke with, they're all of the same mind. Well, this doesn't work, this does work. You might want to talk to that guy. Not every community will respond to this product. This does work, that, but they certainly said to the one up in Albany, what's that called, Whole Foods? Honest Wake said they would come down. The Berkshire guy said he would come down, and one other. But they all had done food co-ops. And in our midst, we have a woman who ran a food co-op in Rhinebeck, Colleen Shepernoff, who's now the head of the Arts Council, once was very much part of one, and she said if this ever got off the ground, she'd be interested in helping, so we should reach out.
The Arts Council down on Warren?
Right on Warren. Colleen was part of one in Rhinebeck when her kids were growing up.
Right.
So we have a wealth of information available from people already successful, and that one that where they were so successful, they reinvested and opened another one. I was wondering when I was reading this, when you put in that $150, are you investing in the return, or are you just helping get it off the ground?
Both, because the membership fee is not a way to capitalize the business, but it's a way to help capitalize the business, and if there's any profit left at the end of the year, it's distributed to members.
Okay.
So that's why we're running it as a business and not as a nonprofit.
Right. Okay, and my other question is, and this was something we ran into in a 6 month ago path, we kept hearing you can't have a grocery store unless the food is pre-washed and pre-packaged, and we kept hitting this brick wall. Have we addressed that?
That is dependent largely upon local ordinance.
So
you know,
like,
most well, not most, all co-ops are tailored to the community.
Right.
We need a health and regulations committee.
Right.
We need someone to work with the local rules. And we also have to deal with the state. I've dealt with New York State Ag and Markets previously, and I do know that in their case, they like to be informed and involved before sketches are made, before equipment is bought, before any of that. If they feel that they're not and they're brought in after your blueprints are done and your equipment's purchased, they are not looking kindly upon that. So it's a bit of a political awareness, but it's dealing with, we need a health and regulations committee.
Do the feds come in on this at all, the FDA?
I don't think so. They're superseded by New York State Ag and Markets, and if I'm wrong, don't kill me.
Back to the point about Berkshire, I thought Berkshire was kind of expensive. Is that, are you saving money by having members, or?
I shop there, and I do so much better there than I do in some of our local health food stores.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I have to agree. I find also what their orientation is towards the basic goods thing.
Right.
There's always things in sort of the basic goods,
right,
that they drop the price down to make it very high.
I do very well there. I shop the sales, but I can end up getting something that's $5, a price dropper that's organic, and I go there and it's $3. So I don't know how they're doing it, but
well, and that what you just mentioned is it's David versus Goliath, because
right,
Goliath is huge,
right,
it's cumbersome, they have markups based on a distribution level of 3 or 4 tiers.
Right.
It's their costs are unbelievable, which is why their profit margin tends to be 2 to 3%. There was a quest, Anna.
I was just gonna add that the general managers are names. At the Berkshire
Co-op. Okay, thank you.
Art what?
Art Ames is the general manager.
That's the guy. That's him, Art Ames. He's the one, and he's very gentle with his time. He said he'll come talk to anyone. And then we could go to him, get a tour of the store, and then get a sit-down, so if you wanted to see. There's a whole big thing about basements and restocking, and
yeah,
there's so much to learn. But he said, anytime you want to come, we'll spend an
hour. I wanted to ask Nate Horowitz from Honest Weight here.
He's the other one, right.
And Art Ames.
Right.
And we'll get him down to our air-conditioned space and and grill him.
Yeah.
I love Honest Weight. I had a shop.
Yeah, they're both. That's two of the people that we spoke with in the past, so they're aware we're trying to do this, and that's
yeah,
great.
Where were you trying to start a co-op?
Here. I don't know if anybody remembers, but on the listserv, it started with a question, where did Big Bear really go? And then Carolyn Lawrence and I got very active in it, and then typical us, dropped it because it just got to a point where it got too big, and we just didn't know where to go after that. So we both, she sold her house and got too busy, I got involved, and we let it go, unfortunately. But I'm glad she's back doing it. But it can be done. It's just we were told, start with 60, you'll end up with 3. It's a very difficult thing to do. So you really need to commit and stay connected. That was the big bottom line message, was commit and stay connected, or else it won't happen.
Sorry, there's Robin.
Yeah. My name is Robin. I just had a question. Is it about the profit, like registering as a profit? Is that standard as an organization as opposed to being a nonprofit? Because nonprofits can still put money back into the organization. I'm just curious how that plays out down the road with transparency, like as far as financials, and is it.
I can answer your question.
This is John Friedman, who's the co-op's attorney.
There's a minimum percentage, not necessarily profits, but the savings that the co-op realizes from doing business with its, doing what we call patronage, with its members. And each member, when you do a transaction, you identify yourself as such to the person at the point of sale through some mechanism. And that's tracked throughout the year. At the end of each fiscal year, we'll be able to determine what the dollar volume of savings was as a result of patron transactions with members. And then based on each member's pro rata percentage of that total patronage, you'll get up to a minimum amount of the that dollar volume back in dollars, hard dollars. I think it's a third. You'll have to pay tax on that. That'll be earned income to you. It's tax-free to the co-op. The balance of what each member's capital account bears is carried forward. Now, all of this happens after the co-op, like any other corporation, whether it's nonprofit or profit, has set aside whatever funds it needs, it feels it needs, its board of directors determines it needs for rainy day funds and other type of capital expenditure funds and what have you. Then the calculation is done and there's some savings. That's then distributed. At some point, it's conceivable, although I'm not sure that it's happened in a long time, that a cooperative could amass enough cash on hand to redeem those capital accounts. And theoretically, members would then get it. There are certain circumstances where your capital account has to be paid back to you. But there, it's a very narrow thing. Otherwise, it's basically the, you can think of it as absolutely analogous to an increase in the value of stock in any type of corporation, but without a liquid market to sell the stock in. So the value of your membership could significantly rise above $150, but you can never sell it for more than $150. You'll get a check every year.
You get a check,
assuming that there's savings. It's probably a poor assumption in the first few years of operation.
My second part of that question is, like, nonprofits have certain levels of, like, transparency and accountability. Like, they have, like, the tax filings and where money went. Mm-hmm. Will there be that same sort of transparency?
Depends on what the members demand.
But legally, you know.
The board, the co-op, has to provide the membership at an annual meeting of the membership certain financial reports, standard financial reports, that would be prepared according to, not necessarily GAAP, but some standard. You just have to pick one. And then it's up to the members to determine if that's a high enough level or a low enough level or a deep enough level of understanding and granularity where they can require more. Any member can ask to go and look at the books of a company, the way any shareholder can go and inspect the books of a company that it owns stock in during normal business hours.
And that's a lot of transparency.
I mean, we don't file anything with the state except our tax return. We don't I don't believe that we file a 990, a New York State 990, like a traditional not-for-profit would be. We're not formed under the not-for-profit law. We're formed under the cooperative corporation law. As such, the cooperative is a not-for-profit, okay, without having to go and get any other type of designation. It is a not-for-profit corporation in the sense that its primary purpose is not the accumulation of profit for its ownership, but rather the delivery of benefits to the members.
Nancy, what would the corporation be, though? A C-Corp, an S-Corp, an LLC?
A cooperative corporation.
Oh, that's another designation.
Every state has its own laws regarding the incorporation of a co-op as a corporation. So what? It's possible we could have filed in another state, but there's no benefit for us to do that. Each state has its own particular corporation laws. Okay, yeah. The place to start would be your email, if you don't mind. Spell it for me.
L-E-U-R.
Carolyn. K, is it the C?
K-A-R-O-L-I-N.
Okay.
MD
M Mary Bob at
Mary.
We'll talk later, I'll get this, but thank you.
My name is Adam Hall, and I just recently transplanted here from Brooklyn, New York. And for over a decade, I worked at the Park Slope Food Co-op. So I also went to Oberlin College, which has a cooperative, one of the largest cooperatives in the country. All the students basically own and operate dining halls as well as residences. So imagine showing up as a freshman and you have to cook dinner for yourself and 50 other people and purchase food. So I'm pretty familiar with the structures. I also spent a lot of time in Massachusetts and in Vermont where there are co-ops which are open to the community in a more broader sense, like a grocery store. And the Park Slope Food Co-op has a model where every member has to work. And the model that's being presented today is one that does not have that requirement. So I'm just wondering if there's anyone here who feels like the working model, in other words, where every member has to work, is somehow prohibitive. And if anybody feels strongly like that would be a hardship.
I think it's just sometimes it's not possible. I could not join that co-op because it just wasn't in my schedule to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think you are excluding a lot of people.
Do you as I said before, I'm a member of that co-op. I adore that co-op. I think it's a really great model. I would love to see that here, but I could also imagine in that we don't have any kind of a grocery store in town at all. There's just no other option for people. And it feels like we should start maybe at least or consider something that's a little more open, so that everybody can walk in the door initially.
I will point out anybody can shop in this co-op as we're envisioning it now.
Right. No. That's what I'm saying. But I think he's presenting the possibility of this model where only members can walk in. Even though I'm a huge fan of the only member model,
can you tell us how that
in this town necessarily right now?
How does that work for you? I mean, are you able to work that in? And you just in the back of your mind, you always say, "Well, I know I'm scheduled for this."
In Park Slope, it was because there's so many members, people are only working 2.5 hours a month.
Oh, that's 17,000 members.
Thing.
Okay.
So other co-ops, other places, it's like maybe every week you have to put something in. I would do that. But again, I feel like this town, given that we don't have a grocery store yet, we should consider maybe a different model.
I went to stay, I think it was Brattleboro, Vermont. Is it Brattleboro? The one that's more...
Yeah, middle.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the most amazing clubs I've ever been to.
What did you like about it? It's huge.
Really? Well, I was going to say, in my case, I was just visiting there for the week because I was camping with my family. And we were blown away by it, so if it had been only members could shop there, I could have gone in. So
what made it so great?
Oh, the food was wonderful, excellent quality, it was really friendly, it was just a beautiful place to shop.
And it's huge, it's amazing.
Yeah, but I felt really, I think that's an outsider, so I'm just wondering, in a case like that, I would love that people that are just visitors can walk in there and find wonderful food from our community.
Oh, sure,
but
anybody
can
shop.
But that would be a big advantage to being the person who works. Like, the member, it should be significantly a perk,
there's a member price and there's a non-member price. Every time you punch the register.
Do you think Brattleboro was that way? I don't remember.
There's a member discount of 2%, and then there's a worker member discount of, I think it's 10%.
Oh, so when you go to the cash register, that's
with your card, which is barcoded, you're identified as one or the other.
I like that one.
Well, where there's a mix.
Right.
Do you have any idea of how many hours you would think that a member would have to work? It depends on how many working members.
Exactly. We have to look at what's available and what we need. But
Peter, what's the $25,000 for staff that's in the original budget? What is that staff that's being paid?
where you have to hire people before the store opens, and you have to hire people once the store is open to keep the operations going. There has to be, people have to be paid salaries. There will be an office staff, certainly.
There will be.
Oh, sure.
It's not going to remain that the members volunteer, keep it thriving,
no,
get a good discount.
There's a whole back office, what I call a back office operation. That's where the bookkeeper is, the buyer, the general manager, the assistant manager, whoever's heading the cashiers, all that personnel.
A core staff.
A core staff, yeah.
And that's $25,000 for that first staff of the year?
No, for 3 months.
Where is that?
That's on the first page.
Number two.
Under item number two. And these are informed guesstimates. Hopefully we can come in under that. But as in this whole process, there are 10,000 balls up in the air. This meeting is one of them. And then we leave the meeting, we go back, we think, we talk about it with our families, with our partners, with our neighbors. Somebody calls me to get clarification. Somebody may call John, the attorney, to get clarification. And gradually, not so gradually, things start happening. Now we have committees. We didn't have 2 weeks ago. So this body that's here is full of energy and direction. This is not something that's happening in a vacuum. Somebody had a question. Hi.
Hi, I was a member of Brattleboro too. My household is a member of the Brattleboro Co-op. We go there 3 to 5 times a year maximum to our tiny cabin off the coast. And our joy of the whole trip is going to the co-op. We shop at the Brattleboro Co-op and come back to Hudson. So first of all, that was about the only thing I was going to say, is that's one of my favorite grocery stores in the world.
I hope you'll be able to say that about this one.
Right. But my question also for you, Peter, as the state outreach coordinator, is how many have you overseen personally of such a small city? When I'm thinking, I don't know what a population of the North Dakota one you mentioned, but I mean, it's of the 7,000 people in this town, I don't know what the percentage of, it seems like it would be an uphill thing, but maybe I...
Well, the potential market isn't just in Hudson.
Okay.
The
so
core market is in Hudson.
Too.
I'm sorry?
We need outreach for that too.
Well,
right?
Yes, because I want us to serve the county,
okay,
and contiguous counties. So
okay.
I want to reach over to Athens. I want to reach into Dutchess County because people are going to drive up here from Dutchess because we have things they don't. And go ahead.
Is Mother Earth a co-op in Kingston? Is that the...
No.
We know?
No.
Okay. So there is no co-op in this whole...
Oh no, that's not true, no.
Albany,
Troy, Philmont, and Chatham.
Chatham has one.
But it's the case where the more the better, because these things help each other.
Right.
Our shopper is going to go to Old Hudson, Dina's place. Our shopper is going to come to the co-op. Our shopper is going to go to the farmer's market and go out to ShopRite because of various reasons. And we all know what they are, because they're personal reasons. Some people may only shop at the co-op, and that's fine. People tend to cherry pick for various reasons, and that's the beauty of a community like this.
If we're going to do outreach, is one of the locations or all of the locations you're looking for going to have parking accommodation?
Has to be, even though not everybody has a car. Some people have cars.
We want to get others involved.
Exactly. We're looking at places that are close to parking or have parking, or yes, that has to be. Yes, hi,
Don. I would enjoy sitting down with some committee or you about the business plan or the development plan, because the costs, just I don't want to challenge them, but they're just a little mystifying. I mean, $25,000 for staff for the first 3 months. that's not rocket science, that's $100,000 a year for the for, is that for the first year, or I mean it seems to me that this comes back into the question
these are
of volunteers.
Startup costs.
That's well, I mean, are you suggesting that you wouldn't start it until you had a manager, an office manager,
no.
Buyer,
oh, no,
and
no,
cashier,
no, no.
Staff?
No.
I mean, right. Well, I mean, I think that, but I think that, that we need to understand that much of that will be done by volunteers in the beginning.
Yes.
There may be one or two of these people who have some professional full-time oversight, and then a bunch of us are going to have to work into
correct.
These jobs as the co-op develops. And maybe in, what, 3 years, we might get to something where we would have $100,000 or five?
I don't know. I mean, that's guessing. But the business plan, I want to stress that again. Until we finish our business plan, we're at sea without a sail. So, Don, if you would sit with me and some other financial people, I mean, I'm not a financial person, but sit with other members of the financial team, I'd love that. And I'll put your name down.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm confused. You say that we can open when we have 200 members, which is $30,000, but we need $185,000 startup costs. So
you're right to be confused because I don't want to give a date. I didn't want to give the $185,000 number. Numbers stick in people's minds. And there are so many variables happening on so many levels that rather than give a date, I chose to give a membership number.
Okay.
So that's one of the balls up in the air. I'm very conscious about being conservative and managing expectations so that people don't see this as an equity investment situation where they can cash out in 3 years with triple their investment. Now this is hard work, and there's a lot of work, and these issues are enormous. And none of us have ever done this before. Has anyone here formed a co-op? Well, John's special for a lot of reasons. Aside from John, though, you know, we have a lot of guidance. We have the kit we can take off the shelf. We have the three-ring binder from other co-ops, but these are big issues.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have from the other co-ops job descriptions, standard operating procedures?
Yes.
So you have a lot of stuff right up front.
Yes, we do.
To work from.
Thanks to Paul, we have member manuals from Honest Way. All these co-ops are very transparent because part of the co-op ethic is honesty and forthrightness and connectedness. So it's possible to ask the Troy Co-op for their financial statements. They have everything to gain by showing us. And it's not for public distribution, but for another co-op, they'll do it. So we have job descriptions, we have employment application procedures, human resources procedures, and all that. We don't have to invent a lot of this stuff.
And Stan, well, that's so important, you know, for setting up the management procedures because you have a background for that.
Yeah, we don't have to invent a lot here. We just have to follow others' footsteps and tailor it to us. Hi.
Maybe this is way too early, but it seems like if there's a physical presence, you know, last time you were talking about where you were investigating and trying to find a physical space for the co-op. And I guess I'm just kind of wondering how that's going, or if there's a committee that's doing that, or is that you exclusively? And I think if the co-op has a physical presence, like that little office, then people start knowing about it and kind of things start happening.
And talking
but
about it, yeah.
So
it's
has
been,
anything happened with that?
Well, it's been me negotiating with one landlord, and I'm happy to ask for help on this. So let's call it a site committee, SITE.
I think
and
so.
We're gonna it's going to be what the building is. So let's.
So how is that? I mean,
it's been off and on because we haven't been able to agree on a value of the property. Nor have we been able to even agree yet on an arrangement. Lease to buy, purchase.
Can you divulge where this is?
I'd rather not, because it's that kind of sensitivity, and I need to respect the landlord's privacy.
So I think the site committee would be good. You know, there's a lot of people who have maybe places we don't know about, parts of the neighborhood.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, maybe you even start in a place that's, you know, my Uncle Vinny's little shop, and then you expand into something else.
What's your name? Would you be willing to be on
the site committee? I'll be on the
too.
Wait a minute. What's your name? I didn't catch it.
Carla.
Thank you, Carla. Carla what?
Roberts.
And
Deborah Kinney.
Yes, thank you, Deborah Kinney.
You can have a beautiful site committee.
Jennifer Scott. We were offered a few sites when we tried this 6 months ago. We should talk.
We can talk
soon.
And how do you have people here?
Hi.
Hello, Manila. I have a question about memberships. Because there are many people who could benefit from this who might not have the $150 to put out right away, or even at any time, even in installments. Would there be a consideration of, for example, membership in exchange for working?
Yes.
But wouldn't it be like a minimal reciprocity? I mean, working at a reasonable, you know,
yes,
salary that would consider at a certain time they would have paid off a voting full-fledged,
yes,
membership.
No one's going to be excluded because of money.
I'm not saying not being involved because of money, but in work share,
yeah,
to have it so much commensurate with a real salary kind of position wouldn't be like, you know, apple picking kind of salary.
No, it has to be equal value. I mean, otherwise,
yeah,
it's demeaning.
Of course.
And why don't you talk more about that and maybe form a committee about that?
I cannot at this time.
Okay.
Say that because I have a lot of other requirements, and I would, if I were to be involved, I would be fully involved. I don't want to.
Well, you can be the power behind the throne and stay in touch.
Yeah, yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
I think somebody who could negotiate that. Also, I saw a question that said about avoiding things that were exploitative. So that would be mostly local.
Yes.
Okay, that's already. And then I see a question about SNAP and WIC programs. You would not consider opening it unless these were intact or installed so that people could automatically come in and be able to use their cards.
Exactly. Yeah, there have to be certain things in place so people can shop and have access to food.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be one of them, because that reflects part of the community.
I believe that opens you up to some grants.
That's what I'm thinking.
That opens you up to grants.
Well, we'll talk to our fundraising committee.
Do you have a grant writer?
Do we have a grant writer?
Do we have a grant writer in the room?
You know who does? What's that? Community development, isn't that you, Shannon? Isn't grant writing for yourself?
It is.
Weirdly.
I can hardly wait. But you all have my email. If you find an opportunity, I'd be happy to look at them and see what's feasible. I mean, you gotta always, when you get a grant, look at the cost benefit in terms of time it takes to plug away and the information that you kind of have to glean before you can even put a grant together, like our incorporation here, our corporation papers, our mission statement, our, you know, demographics, our, I mean, all of this information has to be pulled together before you can even begin a grant application.
Is there anywhere that there is that, you know, a complete list of everything we have to have before we go to you so that your committees can write a grant so that we know what we need to put together to take the next steps?
Well, now I know what my next step is. So I can try to start to put
It depends on the source. I mean, a private foundation grant is going to have different requirements than a federal grant or per grant. It's very specific per application.
I believe that co-op you were talking about a few years ago was grant-based. I think they got like $300,000 to open up that co-op. No, the one that was here in Hudson a couple of years ago that Johnny and Ashton opened.
Oh,
that was
originally.
Okay, but that was a grant. My understanding that is that was opened by, it was